Hello and welcome in to the Rebel Room. This is the first official edition of the 2015 football season as the Rebels get going in the Tony Sanchez era. Saturday at Northern Illinois, 21-point underdogs. Here to break it all down, I am Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer, sports editor Ray Brewer, the full team on staff. Everybody's looking at their Mac laptops, looking for Case is probably looking for an edge in any first week lines. Ray figuring out who he's going to make the favorites in this week's prep games.
I'm looking at the depth chart.
Depth chart for UNLV. Yeah. Okay, so let's that's as good a place as any to start today, Monday, as we're recording this. UNLV released its depth chart not too long ago. You and I both had, Ray, a chance to look through it. No big surprises, but the main thing that stands out to me is Scoggins currently listed second at left guard behind Eric Noon. And that's, look, Scoggs has kind of missed some time with a couple of nagging injuries. He's always been sort of an enigma on this team, very talented. Academics have kind of kept him off at various points, but seemed, you know, when his former high school coach, Tony Sanchez, came in, seemed to really change things around, hit the books, had a really good summer session. So that one kind of surprised me a little bit, but overall, nothing big. A lot of freshmen in the mix as backups, and I think we're going to see some of them move up through the depth chart throughout the season. But just what did you see kind of first glance at this?
At first glance, you know, the weakness for the team is that offensive line. And, you know, I think one great debate in the offseason was, are the Rebels going to win more than 2.5 games? And I've always been one that's been like, without a doubt, I think they're going to win 4 games or more, right? And then I look at this depth chart and I just see some of the players that are playing that they're expecting big things from. And the offensive line, which was maybe one of the worst in college football last year, you just look, you know, Jayandre Sanders, practice squad guy, your right tackle. So his first, you know, first real game experience is going to come Saturday. Chris Lopez, first experience. Now, everybody speaks highly of the center, Will Kreitler. If that guy goes down and now you're putting a true freshman in, oh, wow. I mean, UNLV's an injury away from 0-12.
Well, I think that injury is at quarterback, which to probably our surprise at, I don't know, November 10th last year is Blake Decker. Because I know that there were various points throughout the previous season where I did not think that there was a scenario where they were going to bring him back or, you know, come back with him being the number one. But it's not only that he's listed at number one after going to practices throughout the spring and summer. He is head and shoulders the best quarterback they have. And so if he does go down, then I think you've got some huge concerns with Dalton Snead, the true freshman quarterback, you know, some potential there, but they want to redshirt him this year. Kurt Palandek is the transfer over from Laney College. He's listed as the backup. But just nothing I've really seen from him that makes me feel like they've got some options there. And so that puts even more on that offensive line and on Decker himself to get things right in a way that last season they obviously weren't with 18 interceptions. That said, I was kind of joking around with you about this before we started recording. Blake Decker's 2014 season, he had about 2,800 passing yards, nearly 2,900. It would be good for 13th all-time on UNLV's career passing list. Not single season, career.
When you're down by 40 and you're airing it out again.
Just chucking.
Yeah.
Just nothing but chucking. But I almost – so that's kind of how the offense is shaping up. Receivers and running backs, you feel like you've got some really good – if not depth there, so some good top-line options, you know, whatever you end up getting from Keith Whiteley. You've got Lexington Thomas and Xavier Campbell behind him. Those are both a couple of true freshmen. Devontae Boyd, we saw, was great last year. I think they really need Kendall Keys to kind of be that opposite option, just to bring it so that they can't completely overload on Boyd. But skill positions on offense, there's some hope there. Major concerns with the line and quarterback. But I would almost, you know, you said off the top that the issue is offensive line. I'll go over to you, Case. Offensive line or defense? Because I feel like you could pick your poison with describing UNLV as far as what's what's worse off year to year. But even this year, you know, they bring back quite a few defenders. All three linebackers that started last year are back. Penny Vea in the secondary, Fred Wilson in the secondary has some experience. But it's kind of always been the thing back there. I don't know whether returning guys is actually good or bad, because this continues to be one of the worst groups in the conference and the country.
Yeah, that's something I struggle with every single year when I'm writing about the college previews and looking at teams. It's, if you have all these returning starters back, doesn't matter if they were just horrendous last year. And I think it's pretty safe to say UNLV was horrendous. They allowed, I just got in front of me, 6.5 yards per play, which is one of the 10 worst teams in the nation. So, you know, the upside is a lot of those guys are going to improve. And I think I said on the last podcast we were here, I have faith in UNLV's coaching staff. So I think they're going to be a little bit better. I'm definitely worried about the defense. I don't think it's going to be strong or anything. I think they could get a little better, but I do think the line probably I'd be a little more worried about. And you guys both said the Scoggins thing only a little bit surprised you. I hadn't seen the depth chart yet, and I was pretty stunned when you said that, because when I was talking with Tony Sanchez last week for a little bit, he mentioned something about how we only have one senior on the offensive line. And I thought that senior meant Scoggins, right?
Well,
is there another senior?
Eric Noon is also
okay.
A senior.
Well, I just misinterpreted.
Yeah,
I didn't realize.
Whichever way you go, there.
Seems like he was in high school like 2 years ago. So I remember covering the Noon kid in high school. So I'm surprised he's already a senior.
Yeah, and Scoggins does surprise me, but because he's had so much kind of back and forth, I think that's kind of how I just chalk it up. I know that. Look, I probably wouldn't trust anybody better than Sanchez to kind of handle Scoggins, try and get the most out of him as a player, as he, you know, also just figures out the end of his academic career too. But I think those two together, that has a chance to end up being something there. So I figure at some point Scoggins is going to be the starter, so that's why I kind of just accept that one, basically.
Here's the deal. Nobody's watched as much Tony Sanchez football in the last 6 years as me. The guy likes to establish the run. He likes to play power football, and that's a base for everything he does. He doesn't have the personnel to do that. The offensive line will not hold up to that. The running backs aren't experienced enough to do that. So I just don't know how they're going to score points. And then you look at the defense.
And you don't know how they're going to prevent any points?
Yeah, and this is like – I mean, this is for me, this is like – looking at this depth chart when it came out, Taylor and Case – for me was like a reality check, because if you guys remember, I was on this, oh my God, Tony Sanchez is they're gonna win 8 games or whatever, you know. I had them, you know, going to the Fiesta Bowl, and now I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh my God, this team is, it's gonna, matter who the coach was, you know, this team was gonna take a few years to make over and to fix. Now my thing is, Saturday Tony Sanchez will no longer be label high school coach. He'll be a college coach, right? You know,
correct.
If when they lose by whatever they lose by, do you think that people are going to be on the comments, oh, it's what happens when you hire a high school coach?
Oh, some will, definitely.
Of course, people are going to overreact. I mean, notoriously overreact.
Yeah, I mean, right. This team is just...
So what did you think the roster was going to look like when this entire offseason you've been so confident about the over on wins? Like, what names on here could have convinced you that was correct?
Well, for example, like the Jayon Miles kid was, you know, the player from the second. You make a good point, Taylor. I love how you always keep me honest.
But he's also Jayon Miles, who's a cornerback that they brought in. He's the backup right now. He's got a chance he could end up being the starter. So, I mean, just
– I know, but how is that guy the
– those and
– yeah, I just don't know. I just thought that – you know, with the Mountain West only having one team with a returning quarterback other than UNLV, with the league kind of, aside from Boise, being...
And San Diego State.
According to some, and San Diego State, I just thought UNLV had a chance to pick its spots, where 6 weeks into the season, when people have injuries and UNLV's young players, which they clearly have a lot of freshmen and sophomores, are going to get better each week, maybe UNLV could steal some games. But I'm looking at this, and there's players here who you ask yourself, how's this guy a Division I player? And I know they haven't played a snap yet, and I know I might be hitting the overreaction button, but
well, you've had that same assessment of their depth charts and rosters before. Like, we've had that conversation with some of Houck's teams where you didn't understand, especially with locals.
Yeah, and Houck did you don't want to throw a guy under a bus at all, but Houck did...
Yes, you do. Go ahead and do it.
No, I'm just saying that sometimes he took a feeler on a guy who... It just probably didn't work out. So, I mean, the defensive line, we know what to expect from them, right?
Do we?
I can't even pronounce half of the guys on the defensive line. Go ahead, try if you can.
Oh,
do
I know. I wanted you.
I don't even want to talk about any of them.
You know, so you've got
Mike Hughes. You could get that.
Yeah,
Junior. Mike Hughes Junior.
Yeah, I got it. And you know, Sonny Sanatoa is kind of the anchor there. Iggy Porsche has moved over from linebacker. He's on the D line. They've got a few guys up at defensive tackle. They actually list three potential starters for those two spots. But that's the type of position where you need some depth because you're going to be rotating guys in and out. You need, you know, kind of a full two deep there, whereas quarterback, the backup, in most cases, ideally, you never get to. But looking at this first week for the Rebel depth chart that Ray is suddenly very down on, 21-point underdogs at Northern Illinois still have quarterback Drew Hare, who had four total touchdowns in a 48-34 victory at Sam Boyd Stadium last year. That was a game that Northern Illinois led by, I think it was 23. It was either 21 or 23 in the third quarter, and then UNLV's offense really just came out on fire for that entire third quarter. They were great. Only one turnover the entire game, but that ended up being a crucial one at the end. UNLV had a chance driving down, could have tied up the game again, ends up being an interception, and they go on to lose that one. But a game that they were in, now fast forward a year, and I mean, just being in the game would be a huge positive, right? Like, no, nobody's in this room or pretty much
anywhere else
outside of the Elite Athletic Complex is giving them much of a chance. Like, Case, do you see this as anything but a blowout?
Yeah, I got to say blowout. I wish I had more to add, but that's a tough one.
I mean, I think, first of all, first game, it's going to be sloppy for both teams. And maybe that sloppiness could help UNLV hang around. Now, the one thing UNLV does have going for it is all the players are optimistic. They see the changes that have happened with the program, and they think that changes on the field will be next. So in past games, they'd go in saying, okay, we're a two-win team. This isn't one of the two we're going to get. Now I think Sanchez has them thinking that they're not a two-win team, and maybe that mentality at least prevents it from being a blowout. Agree. That's a good point.
No, I don't. I don't think what.
Agree, Case. It's you and me against Taylor.
Yes,
he agrees.
I think he's getting ready to agree with me.
It's a classic Ray Brewer point. So yes. Like a couple of years ago, I would have gotten fired up and been yelling at you, but now I'm just used to it, and I'm glad that you're sticking to your guns on this because I'm going crazy over here. This is totally different than what you normally are. You're being pessimistic. You're calling Houck out on stuff. I've never heard this.
Look at this.
You're also calling Bobby Houck out on stuff which you never could have done in the past. So I'm glad there's a little bit of Ray Brewer left.
Usually. That kind of pessimistic Ray only comes out after like week three or four when a junior college player has done something that he doesn't like.
The JUCO player is another Ray Brewer special.
Yes. But Northern Illinois, they've got actually what looks like a pretty vaunted passing attack overall too, with some returners there on the outside. Kind of a similar question of can the offensive line hold up, but they're in a better position currently than UNLV, obviously, for many reasons. But with that offensive side, They look like they're going to be able to put up points aplenty on Saturday. So it'll be interesting defensively to see just kind of how that all comes together, what changes we see on UNLV's side, defensive coordinator Kemp Bear, and what they kind of put together with a lot of the same pieces. You know, I've mentioned that there's nine true freshmen who are in the mix, but none of them are listed as starters right now. And so you're going to see some young faces, but a lot of them are guys who played last year were either backups or starters. And so this is, you know, it's different in a lot of ways. New coaching staff, quote, new era and all of that. But it's the same Rebels that that won two games last year and seven games the year before. So it feels like we should, on one hand, we should know what to expect. But I guess just kind of the conditioning of, you know, the new coaching staff and just the line of thinking that progress is going to come each year. Younger players, as they get older, are going to get better. That's not always true, but especially before games are played, that's kind of something that you lean on and kind of think, okay, well, maybe they'll make changes here because this guy's got another year under his belt, or with a different coaching, he's going to fit in a different system better. So defensively especially, I'm going to be really interested to see how they come out. But look, I'm with you guys. I'm not expecting much positive in these first three games for UNLV, where they're going to be, let's see if I can do the math, they'll be about a combined 90 to 95 point underdogs.
Sounds way worse than I thought it would.
Does that sound right?
I'm telling you right now, they're not going to get blown out by UCLA here.
I disagree. This is Brewer and I's biggest disagreement. I love UCLA this year.
What number will you give us? What's the actual line right now?
35-ish.
I thought it was 32, but I could be wrong. But
whatever
I love
it is,
UCLA
you
this
take
year.
UCLA, I'll take UNLV. I'll collect my lunch September 13th.
Okay, all right.
But if you're so confident, why not give us like three touchdowns?
I love UCLA, so I will take, let's see what it is right now. As of last week, when I wrote the Pac-12 thing, it was 32.
All right, 32. I'll take UNLV plus 32.
We'll lock this in next week when it's actually the week of the UCLA game. But that's, I think right now I'm probably leaning on Case's side. Like that would be the.
I mean,
why would you lean on my side ever on anything?
Jim Mora's won 10 games every year at UCLA, and this is by far the best team he's had. Not even close. No comparison.
Of course, I mean when they start that first year quarterback, they're going to
come
out
and every
be world
single
be-
other
world
person
beaters,
back.
Case.
And Brett Hundley's best year, what was it again? Oh yeah, when he was a freshman under Mora.
And
he wasn't even as big of a recruit as this kid.
Yeah, you're right. Jim Mora is going to they're going to win the BCS this year, Case.
I think they might go to the playoffs. I think they got a great. I think they got
if
a great.
If they go
to
the playoffs, I don't want to. I can't afford to lose anything else.
I think they got a great chance.
They're
to
not
go
going
playoff.
To the playoff. They're going to come to UNLV. It's going to be 110 on the turf at kickoff. They're going to be looking into the sun.
I was outside at 7 o'clock on Friday this week, and it was not that hot. There was no way it was 110.
It's all right, Case. You had trees blocking you.
You just got. You're right now. You're hoping for a backdoor cover because I'm going to be winning by halftime, probably.
Backdoor cover? Do you think UNLV is going to try to? They're going to kill the clock a little bit. This is
No, you have a good chance at a backdoor cover, but
all right.
if it's
backdoor cover, backdoor cannoli, whatever you're going to buy me. I don't care.
You looking forward to DeKalb, Illinois, Ray?
I mean, I'm looking forward to it as much as I am. Yeah, I mean, I can't.
I was curious to see where you were going with that.
Yeah, I'll be there. I can't wait.
Ray will be on the ground as I'm going to be in San Francisco for a wedding. But fear not, Ray has you covered. And he's, it's not even just all optimistic, Ray. He's kind of coming in kind of pessimistic.
No, because if I say anything positive about Tony Sanchez, a commenter will be like, Brewer, you got to get off the beat. You're not objective.
Well, you're not technically on the beat, so you're fine.
Well, I'll be on the beat.
Well, that time.
For 3 days.
Yeah. Last thing before we go, because we talked about this last time, season win totals. Still 2.5. Is the money still favoring the under?
I haven't looked in a while, but I still think slightly that way.
Okay, so
you can get it around town about even money.
On my list
way.
Of things to do this week?
Go empty the bank account on the over?
Well, yeah. Uh-oh, just to let you know, Case, Ishmael Adams,
yeah,
UCLA,
I saw that.
He won't be here
good
on
thing
game
that,
day.
Good thing they're extremely deep. He got arrested, I think. But
it's
good,
okay.
Good thing they have the most experience coming back of any team in the country.
It's all right. Blake Decker, 13th best quarterback.
Just news for you, maybe the best public algorithm available to rate college football teams. It's not odds, makers, power rankings. We don't have access to team rankings. Released theirs today. UNLV. 127th. Ahead of Eastern Michigan. That's it.
Hey.
Just news for you. I'll just swap it out.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Because your algorithms and number things, it's just numbers into a computer. I'm telling you right now, handicapping, you got to look at the emotional part of it. It's not always what's in front of you with numbers that you could get a pencil and a calculator and a ruler and cut and dissect and trends.
Right. I was 22 games above 500 last year, so I think I was doing something right on college football.
I'm telling you right now, it's hot out, Case. Your calculator does not account for the sun on turf.
It's not
in
my
East
calculator.
Las Vegas.
I actually don't think UNLV will be that
I've
bad.
I've been here
but
my
just
whole
you it
life.
Is.
It is hot out. You get sweaty. People from UCLA that practice next to the ocean aren't going to come in.
Aren't you going to be more hot wearing a black jersey?
Taylor.
They absorb the sun.
Taylor.
Look at this. Look at the story right here. Miles Jack in white. You're in trouble.
Whatever it may be, Case, I'm telling you right now, UNLV will cover the 32 or whatever it gets bet up to be because everybody's got their algorithms.
I hate that I'm arguing so much for a minus 32, but I think there's no doubt in my mind UNLV will be down by more than that at some point in the game. I just got to hope UCLA holds on to it.
Yeah, I think that's a much safer bet.
Yeah, that's what I will absolutely guarantee you right now UNLV will be up by 32. UNLV will be down by 32, probably even before the fourth quarter. I'm worried about the cover, but I have no doubt in my mind will UCLA be beating them that badly.
Mark it down. Strong. Strong takes from Case Kiefer. I am on record, story I wrote last week, I'm giving UNLV 3 wins. I ended up going with Idaho State, I think San Jose State and Fresno State, because as I, you know, Reno's kind of the game that I've been looking at since the schedule came out. But once I looked at sort of game by game, I just don't think that they win 3 in a row. And to beat Reno and get the San Jose State game, that would be required. So that's kind of where I ended up. I gave them 3 with one, the road victory as double digit dog being the Fresno State game. So
they're not going to beat Hawaii.
I am over. Did you read the story? No. No. Because that's definitely the outcomes that I predicted is definitely how the whole season's going to play out. So I've got the over. Case, you were under last time. What are you locking in?
I hate being this negative because I really like Tony Sanchez. I think he's the right guy for the job, and I think they're going to be good in a couple years. But after researching the season a little bit more and doing the Mountain West write-up, I'm even more secure with my under pick. I think, look, when people have been trying to sell me on the over, they're like, well, they got 2 sure wins. Whenever does UNLV a lock in any game? We can't give them a lock in any game. And one of the game people seem to think to lean towards them is San Jose State. I actually like San Jose State this year. I think they had a lot of bad luck last year. I think on paper they look pretty decent. I can't stand Fresno State. I told Brewer if they steal one, I think it'll be Fresno State. They're the number one bet against team to me in the Mountain West, even more than UNLV, because their numbers will be ridiculous. But I just think, just saying, well, UNLV is going to get 2 wins, they just have to steal one, I've kind of railed against that and decided that's not the right way. They could beat Fresno State maybe, and then the only other win they get is Idaho State, and they're still under. So I'm going under 2.5.
All right. A few quick things before we go. Reno couldn't – everybody says that Reno, UNLV, tragedy, it's not the last game of the year, rivalry game. Without a doubt, I don't dispute that. But for UNLV – perfect spot, right? They'll be excited after the Idaho State win, right? Reno, 2 weeks before UNLV at Texas A&M. Back to Reno, back to the armpit of Nevada. Next week, Reno to Buffalo, Case.
I agreed with you on the scheduling.
Buffalo.
I agreed with you. You
have a good
argument on
the scheduling.
Back home to play
UNLV. I think that game's in play. I love the Fresno game. I agree with you there. I like Taylor, San Jose State. I think they get the Hawaii game.
Oh, hold on. We started this with you being down because
I know.
You're now giving them 5 wins.
Well, things break with other teams.
You gotta be
maybe
kidding
they're
me.
Playing for bowl eligibility in the last game of the year, Taylor. That's all I got, baby.
What is wrong with you?
A lot. You don't even know the half of it.
Hey, you guys are on the same side. Over 2.5 this side of the table. There you go.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, we're teamed up.
Yeah, it's about time.
We're taking you down, Case. I'm not nearly as confident as Mr. Brewer, though I'm not even sure if he's confident anymore. You just swung from they're not going to win a single game to bowl eligibility. So I don't even know what sense to make of that. I guess we'll just have to wait and see, Ray.
And I don't like Hawaii. Like, I think that's a game they probably should win. But Hawaii, if you ask them about reasons for optimism, they're saying, well, we got this USC transfer quarterback. We got these players. When you ask UNLV their reasons for optimism, they're like, oh, well, there's more energy around. To me, I'll take the optimism of better players.
I agree with that. As the music from last episode of the Rebel Room comes in there, which means it is time for us to get out of here. For Case, for Ray, who will be in DeKalb, Illinois, giving you everything you need on LasVegasSun.com from the 2015 season opener. The new era kicks off Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Las Vegas time on CBS Sports Network. For Case, for Ray, I am Taylor, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Save some fame.